As we look at Acts chapter 28, we will be concluding our study of the book of Acts. I believe it has been 20 months since we began this, and it has been a blessing. Next week we will look at our new study of the book of James. I believe God is going to do a powerful work through our study of that scripture. But I believe this word is pertinent to where God is about to take us. Acts chapter 28. If you have it, would you please stand for the reading of God's word from the New American Standard. I'm going to read the first five verses. If you will remember, Paul has just endured a shipwreck, but it was the divine hand of God that led them to safety. Paul recognized this. He had to cut away the anchors, as many of you have been doing in this past week, cutting away those things that were holding him back, that he could arrive to that place with God and that purpose in God. Having cut the anchors, we come to Acts 28, and the Bible says, when they had been brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and was fastened itself on his hand. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, "Undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. And though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." However, he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. The word of the Lord to you today as we enter into this new level in our walk with God is that you must be prepared to shake it off. Look at your neighbor and tell them, shake it off. Amen. Be seated in the presence of God. Some of you know exactly where Paul is spiritually at this moment. Paul has endured much, but God has shown up in his life time and again. In the midst of a phenomenal storm, as hope is fading, God visits Paul. Some of you know today exactly how that feels. God showed up and spoke into Paul's life and assured him and directed him. And the response of Paul was nothing short of remarkable. In the midst of this phenomenal storm, Paul was determined in his heart that he would not let anything divert him. He would not let anything avail him. No storm was going to sink him. He had heard from God, and he was going to fulfill the plan of God to the glory of God. God brought them to this island called Malta. Interestingly, the name Malta means refuge. You see, when we're committed to the plan of God, that doesn't mean we will never encounter the storms of life. Come on now. Especially when those storms are of our own making. But Paul has overcome this. He's cut away those anchors, and he's found a place of refuge. You know what a place of refuge is? It's a place where you can catch your breath. It's a place where the enemy is pushed off to the periphery for a time so that you can get your bearings, you can get some rest, you can get some energy, you can get some direction. and you can get ready for the next step. That's how a refuge is supposed to work. You see, there's not supposed to be any enemy activity. Think about a natural refuge, a reserve, a preserve. The animals in there are supposed to live in such a way that mankind is not going to encroach on their growth, on their safety. They're not going to build roads. They're not going to bring in buildings. They're not going to hunt or fish. But that doesn't mean there's not dangers to those animals still. There's still natural dangers to them. You see, the man-made stuff is out of the way. Does somebody hear what I'm saying today?
Oh, yes.
In a preserve, the man-made problems have been dealt with. But there are still problems that are natural to the condition. Paul has not endured a series of unfortunate events. He has not encountered a string of bad luck. There have been efforts to thwart the plan of God in his life. But God has brought him to a place of refuge. And all of the man-made threats are now removed. And as these threats are removed, a fire is built. Now, I don't want you to consider this just from the perspective of a camping fire. Get some marshmallows and some Hershey's and some graham crackers and make a day of it.
Amen.
Look at what this fire is doing in the spiritual. It's illuminating the darkness. It is illuminating truth. That's what a fire does. That's why we just prayed and just sang about, oh Lord, send your fire. Holy Spirit fire fall on us. We think about the day of Pentecost and the fire of God that fell upon the upper room and the 120 believers that were so remarkably transformed by the fire of God. We think of the fire of God in the context of God being a purifier by fire, a refiner of fire. That he purges out that which is not genuine, that which is detrimental, and does so through fire. The first thing that Paul does when he touches ground is light a fire. The first thing Noah did when he got off the boat was start a fire. The first thing Jesus did when he got out of the tomb was told the Holy Spirit, it's time to start a fire. You see, we got to be fire starters in the body of Christ. We've got to recognize the illumination and the warmth and the cleansing that fire brings. Paul recognizes that there's not only a need for a fire, but that fire has to remain fueled. Oh, I could preach a month of Sundays right there. There's a lot of times we see the fire started, but that doesn't mean the fire continues. You see, you got to keep adding a fuel source to that fire. Otherwise, the fire is going to go out. Tell your neighbor, you got to keep the fire burning. Paul is adding fuel to this fire, not only to keep it burning, but to increase the light, to bring greater warmth, greater illumination. And did you notice that this is the moment the viper hits him? The viper didn't attack him when he was out in the woods gathering sticks. But when Paul had gathered those sticks and put them on the fire, that's when the viper came out. The Bible even says that the viper came out because of the heat. Can I tell you, the devil doesn't care if you go and grab a few crucifixes and some Bible and some anointing oil and you have that on your shelf in your home. He doesn't even care if you come to church. What he cares about is whether those things ever get set aflame, whether they are ever ignited by the fire of God. You can have a Bible, you can have 100 Bibles, and the devil doesn't care. He doesn't care that you're out gathering the material. He cares that it was ignited. And the fact that he attacks Paul when he is adding fuel to the fire tells me this. The viper was lingering near the fire. Somebody didn't get that. That viper. He wasn't hiding out in the darkness, hoping that Paul would stumble upon him along the way. The viper positioned himself at the fire. Now, the fact that Paul gets bitten unaware tells us that even though there's illumination, he still doesn't see the viper. My friends, even though there's illumination in your life, even though God starts opening your eyes to some things, that doesn't mean you're easily going to see the viper. Because that viper is camouflaged. That viper will hide himself deep in the recesses of your mind. That viper will hide himself deep among your friends and your fellow Christians. There are tares among the wheat. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are things that seem right to a man, but the way of that end is destruction. The viper hides in places you would least expect it. And when you start getting closer to God, you better realize he's going to have a response. When Paul turned up the heat, the viper lashed out. Does anybody have that as a testimony? That as you started turning up the heat, you started to get on fire for God. You started to take those materials you had gathered and applied them and ignited them, and God consumed them, and all of a sudden you're raging for God, and bam, you got hit. Out of nowhere, physically, financially, in your family, in your emotions, at your workplace. And I'm not talking about somebody cut you off in traffic. I'm talking about somebody cut you out of their life. All of a sudden a depression hits you that you couldn't explain. An anger rose up in you like you had never experienced before. A desire for something that was not yours began to consume you. Questions pounded your head about whether this was really real, whether God was really there. You begin to doubt yourself. You begin to not like yourself, and you don't know why. Vipers that are happy with small fires are comfortable with things the way they are. They're comfortable in comfortable Christianity. As I said, they don't care if you come to church as long as you don't become the church. As a matter of fact, they kind of like it when you come to church because then you feel like you're a good Christian, you're right with God, and they say the reality is there's a whole lot of fire outside of you, but you're a Ebenezer Scrooge on the inside. And they know they got you. They know that if you can just get a little bit warm, then you'll be comfortable and everything will be okay, and they got you. That's the trick. That's the trap. Just enough work to generate some light. Just enough time and offering to keep the fire burning. Just enough effort to remain comfortable in my Christianity. How do we know that's the situation in the modern church? All you got to do is look around. All you got to do is look at what Western Christianity has become. It's very me-oriented. It has become a place where spiritual disciplines are reserved for ministers only. No one else is expected to actually read their Bible and meditate on the Word and contemplate the glory of God. Worship has become entertainment. You see, as we've been talking about tithe and offering at the opening of service, starting next week, we're beginning a new series and some new people will be coming up here. The first thing we're going to talk about is worship.
Come on.
Why? Because in the modern church, worship is more about us than it is about God. We choose our church based on whether we like the music they play. And what we end up doing is singing about God rather than singing to God. Comfortable Christianity, optional Christianity. We talk about committed Christianity, but we're committed maybe an hour and a half out of the week in the Western civilization. See, that's how the vipers like it. That's the subtle trick that they have. We talk about being servants, the servanthood of Christianity. Until someone treats you like a servant. Here's the kicker. When you break free of that and you say, you know what? I don't worship. I worship the Most High God. And I'm going to praise Him because He is worthy. And I know my circumstances don't look good, but I know who holds my tomorrow. And I know that everything is going to work together for my good. And I realize that when I bring this tithe, it's not mine, it's God's. And I trust Him with all of my being. If I can't trust Him with 10%, how do I say I trust Him with 100%? I'm going to give Him praise. And I'm going to be in the Word daily. And I'm going to pray to God daily. And I want to hear God speak to me. And I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do it my way anymore. I want to do it God's way. All of a sudden, you start adding fuel to that fire. All of a sudden, God starts igniting in your life and illuminating things in your life. And that's when you get hit. That's when the enemy realizes, I'm about to lose this one. When you get set on fire for God, notice where Paul gets bit. On his hand. It's the work of your hand. What God has called you to do, that's where you're going to get hit first. The word Ophis means serpents, general word for snakes in Scripture. But here Paul encounters Echidna, a small poisonous snake that lives in parts of Palestine. And it lashes out at his hand. Here's the reality. As soon as you put your hand to the work of God, as soon as you say, I'm going to wake up and read my scripture more, bam. I'm going to help that benevolence ministry, bam. I'm going to go and pursue my credentialing. I'm going to go and pursue a degree. I'm going to go and be a missionary unto God, bam.
Come on, Pastor.
And if he hits you enough, what his intent is that you won't put your hand out anymore.
Wow.
You just sit by the fire and enjoy its warmth and its light, and let somebody tell you how awesome God is. The vipers that Paul encounters here, they had a reputation for being deceitful and deadly. That's exactly what your attack is intended to achieve, to deceive you into believing God didn't protect you. You're not able. It's not worth it to destroy your walk with God. This intent to build the fires, to let God consume you. Many times these vipers look like dried twigs when they sat still. A person collecting wood for fire could inadvertently pick one up and be bitten because they're deceitful. They look harmless. They may even look like fuel for your fire.
Oh, that's good. Come on.
How many people in here have ever set out to do a work for the Lord a good work, a God work. And it almost destroyed you because God never called you to do it. And you took something on that was not God's will for your life. It was a good thing. It was a godly thing. But you put something on your plate that caused the burden to break you. Bam! You just got hit by the deceit. It looked good. It looked godly. It looked reasonable. And then it bit you. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Here's the crazy thing. The storm didn't destroy Paul, but the viper might. So often, we look at the storms of our lives and we feel like, if I can just get through this, and we don't understand. It's not the storms that's going to destroy us. God will let you walk on the water. It's the little vipers that mask themselves as godliness, that lash out. Think of how Satan tempted Jesus. He used scripture. Who am I talking to today? Well, this seems good. As long as I'm doing this, I'm okay. Bam! Gotcha. Friends, as the fires of God grow stronger, so do the attacks of the enemy. And many times, it will come through religion and hypocrisy. What do I mean by that? Many times, the viper is seated in the church. And he will tell you, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord didn't thus saith. If he can't convince you that you don't need to read your Bible, then he'll twist the words of Scripture. Because he's a snake, and that's what snakes do. They twist. That's how they have movement. Many on that day shall say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did mighty wonders in your name. And I shall say to them, depart from me, worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Because what you were doing was not of me. I didn't call you to do that. And you're twisting scripture in this. Think of the nonsense that you hear in the body of Christ these days. As people twist the word of God to align with what they want to believe. Bam. You got a hunger for God? Okay, well, I'm going to give you a deceptive version of God. Bam. That's why Paul says, study to show yourself approved. Rightly dividing. Friends, as the fires of God grow stronger, so do the attacks of the enemy. I don't say this to bum you out, to deflate you. I say it to prepare you and to let you know that when the enemy tells you, well, man, I must not be doing something right with God because I'm getting hit, that's the sure indication that you're doing something right. A thief doesn't rob an empty house.
Come on now.
Right?
Come on.
And he is a thief who has come to steal and to kill and destroy. When I meet people and they say, I never have anything. I never get encountered like that. I never get hit like that. My life is sunshine and roses and rainbows. I ride a unicorn to church. Because it's sugar and spice and everything nice. Bam, you have been hit.
Yes.
Because the enemy doesn't have to worry about you.
Oh, yes.
Because you are no threat to his kingdom.
That's right.
But when you start adding fuel to that fire, wood. When you start getting crucified with Christ, the snakes start coming out. They start attacking. And as the fire of God grows stronger in your life, so do the enemy's attacks. I've come with a word for someone today. Keeping it together as best you can. But you know your answer is beyond your ability. And you feel like you're losing hope, you're losing faith, you're losing your mind. The word of the Lord today is simply this. Follow the example of Paul and shake it off. Shake that thing off. We keep thinking that we're never going to find a victory. The enemy's going to keep attacking. We're never going to overcome this. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. What am I going to do now? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Why are we so worried about these vipers? We need to grow in our Christian walk to a place where we understand that if I just got hit, that means I'm a hit with God. I'm doing something right. I've got the enemy stirred up. You know what? We ought to come to a place, we try to flee any attack of the enemy. We ought to come to a place where we start wearing it like jewelry.
Come on now.
Right? Be able, hey, how you doing today? Look, I got three of them knuckleheads hanging off me today. Man, God is good, ain't he? How can I rejoice in a time like that? Because number one, I know they aren't going to harm me because my God is for me. And if God be for me, who could be against me? No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. So all they can do is hang on until I'm ready to flick them back into the fire. The fire that's going to destroy them. We try to hide our snakes. When the enemy tells you that you have no worth, that you'll never overcome, we try to hide that from people. Illuminate that thing. Let them know, man, how am I doing today? The devil's telling me I'm an idiot. The devil's telling me that my wife doesn't love me. The devil's telling me that I'm never going to get this job. The devil's telling me that I'm never going to maintain my sobriety. And that's when you have a brother or sister come up beside you and say, hey, the devil is a liar. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you look at that devil and you go, you know what? Why am I having a conversation with you? Get off of me. Somebody shake it off. Just resolve in your heart. I'm not going to. Just because God prepares a table in the presence of your enemy doesn't mean you have a discussion with them. The table is meant for you and the Lord. To look at the enemy and laugh in his face and say, there's nothing you can do about this. Shake it off. That lie the enemy has been to, shake it off. How do I shake that thing off? Declare the word of the Lord over it. You're never going to. I can do all things through Christ. I'm content in God. And God is going to deliver me. He's still working on me. He has the final say. Declare that word. People say, well, that's easier said than done. No, not really. Not really. Think of how many things you tell people trying to convince them your point of view is accurate. We do that for a living. But for some reason, when the enemy speaks into our life, we go, oh, he's so true. He's taking a measure of truth and twisting it. But here's the ultimate truth. I am not what I once was. I am not yet what I will be, but I am not now what I once was. And God is not finished with me. Amen. And God has the final say in this. That's why Jesus said, behold, I give you all authority over serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Put that thing down. Shake that thing off. I heard a story once of a man who called his neighbor. He had an old well on his farm. Hadn't used it for years, and he had an old donkey that he didn't use much anymore. Well, the donkey wandered into that area and fell into the well. And he called his friend, and his friend said, well, maybe we can get a winch. I don't know. And the guy said, look, that donkey ain't worth saving. There ain't no way we can get that donkey out. That donkey should have known better than to get in that situation. Anybody ever feel like a donkey? You should have known better than to get. There's no hope of getting you out. There's no way that this is possible. We just need to move on. So here's what the man said. He said, here's what we're going to do. I've got a whole bunch of field dirt. We're just going to fill up this hole, cover up that donkey, give it a nice burial, and move on. And the donkey heard it and said, I don't think so, Cletus. So as these two men start working, they take a shovel full and they throw it into the hole. And every time they throw that dirt in the hole, it'd fall on the donkey's back, and the donkey would just shake it off and step up. And then the next shovel of dirt would come in, and the donkey would shake it off and step up. And it goes on and on and on. And eventually the man has a shovel of dirt and turns around, and there's the donkey looking at him. And he says, how did you get here? And the donkey said, I just shook it off. Somebody needs to shake it off. Look their devil in the eye and say thank you, because what you actually did was raise me to a new level. You're the one who brought me out of my hole. Man, the devil gets mad when he's the one who gets you out of your hole. Woo. Shake it off. One other thing Paul will tell them. Let me hit this real quick. Paul will tell Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. When you shake off that viper, stir up the gifts that are in you. There's a reason the viper is hitting you. You have more potential than you realize, because the Holy Spirit of God is in you. If you ever came to realize just how powerful you are, I'm not talking about the person seated beside you. I'm talking about you. If you ever came to understand the power of your prayer, the influence of your anointing, the reach of your ministry, you would understand why the enemy is hitting you. The enemy understands your potential. He understands the danger that you represent to his kingdom. Now, as long as you're just collecting materials, doesn't do any good. You get them ignited, he's got a problem. Now, think about that for a moment. Stir it up. If you think about that for a moment, that conveys the image of stirring up embers in a fire, so they will not go out. The amplified version of this verse says, rekindle the embers, fan the flame, and keep the fire burning. Paul's answer is this. Not only am I going to shake this thing off and not let it affix to my life. Some of you have been carrying around stuff way too long. You have almost enmeshed yourself with what the enemy is saying. Paul said, I'm not even entertaining you. He shakes it off, and he stirs up the gift. Not only am I going to shake off the lies of the enemy, I'm going to stir up the gifts of God that are in me. I'm going to make the fire burn even brighter. Let me ask you this. If the enemy gets upset because you're igniting the fire and responds by lashing out, why don't we respond by shaking off and making the fire even bigger? Let's send a little message to the enemy that says, all right, you want to play this game? You want to go up to the next level? I'll take it up to the next level.
Come on.
You want to attack me because God has blessed me? Then I'm going to attack you with the blessing of God.
Amen.
I remember one time, my wife and I had just gone to a new level of giving, and we got hit. I think we had $9,000 in home issues in a single month. A car died. Another bill came in that they said, oh, we miscalculated and you actually owe us all of this. The IRS was calling because something else. I mean, just, you can't make this stuff up, the way we got hit. All because we had stepped up to a new level of faith in our giving. And I'll never forget what my wife said in a moment of prayer. As she was praying, she said, God, I know you are my resource, you are my provider. By the way, spoiler alert, he provided every single part of it. But before we got to there, this is what she said. God, you are my provider. I'm not going to complain to you. I'm trusting you. But I will say this. Devil, you hit me one more time and I'll empty my bank account and give the entire amount to the church. I will empty out my 401k. I will empty out my retirement. I'll sell my house in Northern Virginia and I'll give every penny to God. And I'll see to it that even more souls are saved. Don't push me on this, devil. And let me tell you, the attack stopped. The next time the enemy is hitting you like that, just flat out tell him, all right, you want to play that game? Gloves are off. You want to play that game? I'll step up the game. We're going to get white knuckled on this thing right now. And I'm here to tell you, you don't want me sharing the gospel with my neighbor? I'll go door to door through this neighborhood. I'll tell every single person about Jesus. You don't want me to buy a Bible for that person? I'll buy 1,000 Bibles and stand at the corner and hand them to people as they don't push me on this, devil. Stir up that gift that is in you. You don't like it that I'm praying for someone at the altar? I'll do a 24-hour prayer vigil. Take the fight back to the enemy. There are difficulties in life you cannot overcome no matter how cunning you are. And that's just the reality of it, friends. There are problems in life you can't solve no matter how smart you are. There are hurts in life you can't heal no matter how hard you try. There are battles in life you can't win no matter how strong you are. But once you understand the battle's not yours in the first place, there's nothing that can stop you. Praise team, come on up here. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all. Let me say that again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all. I want you to look at that situation that has caused so much fear, so much pain, so much anxiety. Number one, tell the enemy, I'm not listening to you anymore. You have no authority. Let me teach you something here real quick. Instead of dealing with it, be done with it. You have all authority. What does that mean? When the enemy attacks me, this is how I pray. You have no authority. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And according to his word, I declare you will cease all activity in this matter. You will no longer attack me in this way. You will no longer attack this family in that way. You say, well, aren't you asking God to make him stop? No, God said you have all authority. When you start asking God to make the devil stop, God is asking, that's like a police officer coming to your parents and saying, would you... They keep robbing ATMs. Will you please tell them to stop? What would you say as a parent? You have the authority. Right? That's what God's saying to you today. You have the authority. Tell the enemy, no more. You will not touch my children. You will not touch my sobriety. You will not touch my family. You will not touch my job. You will not touch my peace of mind. You will not touch my healing. You will not touch anything that God has given me because it is from God and therefore you have no authority. So I rebuke you in Jesus' name and I cast you out of this situation and I cancel every plan that you have devised, every strategy that you have. It's over. Cast that thing off. and then stir up the goodness of God, the plan of God, the power of God, the love of God. What's my response to God when the enemy hits? No. My response is this. God, I don't know what you got planned, but it's pretty good, I could tell. All right. May your will be done, not my will. Lord, I'm casting these things off. I'm not giving them any thought. I'm not going to entertain them because that's taking my focus off of you. I have rebuked them. They're gone. Now can we talk? What would you have me do? What are you looking to do in me? Where do we go from here? Stir up those gifts. I know you're facing a big problem. You serve a bigger God. As I open up this altar, I'm going to make this last point. The fire that drew out the viper is the same fire that will destroy him. That's what he doesn't want you to know. He wants you to stop fueling the fire. Why? Why? Because the same fire that brought him out is the same fire that's going to destroy him. The same fire that brought him out is the same fire that's going to bring him down. He just doesn't want you to realize that. Father, you bring fire. You are a purifier by fire. You baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm reminded, Lord Jesus, when you cried out, I have come to bring fire, and oh, how I wish it were already kindled. Kindle it in us today, God. Ignite a fire within us today. And for those who are seeing that fire grow, that have been hit by the enemy, Father, today, in your name, we're going to take that authority. We're going to shake that thing off. And I mean that literally, church. Today is the day you need to tell the devil, you have no more authority. You have no more right to speak into my life, to affect me in this way. I'm canceling every one of your plans. But God, it's not enough that I have a cessation of hostilities from the enemy. I want to grow in your grace and knowledge. Ignite that fire. Engulf me in that fire. Build that fire within me. Like the old song says, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Is that your prayer today, church? Today is your day of victory. God, may it be to your glory. And we thank you today for the testimonies that are going to come out of this as we not only find victory, but we ascend to a higher walk with you. In Jesus' name, this altar's open for all who would claim this victory today. Build that fire. Ignite that truth.